This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
House Commerce and Energy will now come to order. I'd like to welcome those that are here today and welcome those that are listening over the internet. At this time, if you have a cell phone or a laptop that makes noises, turn the sound down so you're not disrupting the flow of the committee, the discussion, and the testimony. At this time, I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Spiel.
Here.
Harrison.
Here.
Holly. Kirschman.
Here.
Nordstrup.
Here.
Stalser.
Here.
Steinhauer.
Here.
Wick.
Here.
Willardson.
Here.
Woman.
Here.
Zickman.
Here.
Schoenbeck.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
We have a quorum.
We do have a quorum, and thank you, Madam Secretary. During the course of the committee today, there may be some information to be passed out. Just a reminder to folks, we've got two new pages here. Their first day, their first committee. Is this your first committee meeting? We got pages that are new here, and what we do is we ask the pages to come on up to the microphone, press that little button, and tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, what your plans are after high school. So one at a time, come on up and introduce yourselves.
My name is Jacob Huber. I am from Canton, South Dakota, and I plan to major in music at either University of Nebraska-Lincoln or at Augustana University.
We could use some music teaching in here.
My name is Maddie Jones. I'm from Pierce, so I didn't travel too far. I'm still a junior, so as far as what I'm doing after high school, I'm not sure yet.
Thank you both. And like I said, they serve a very important part of our committee meetings, so thank them when you get a chance for the work they do. In reading the minutes, I'm not going to ask if somebody read the minutes today because there was some changes, and so the minutes are officially amended. There was a presenter in last week's meeting, a testifier, that we failed to put their name into the minutes. And then Rappic City was misspelled. But the chair would entertain a motion to add. Well, what we've done is we've added the name, if I can find the Julie Johnson's name as an opponent on 1154 at the bottom, South Dakota Society of Humane Resource Managers. That would have been on 1154 on the bottom of opponents. And I think we are going to properly spell Rappic City to Rapid City, and that would be on 1216 proponents. One of them was little, but Representative Beal, do you have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second. The amended minutes?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Representative Beal moves to approve the amended minutes, seconded by Representative Stalser. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minutes are so approved. As we get going, I am going to flip. Sorry, Representative. I'm going to move another bill to the top because it'll only take a few seconds to do it. I'm going to move 1246 to the top for the purposes of listening to Representative Wollman.
Mr. Chair, move yes. The table House Bill 1246.
Second.
We have a motion to table House Bill 1246 by Representative Wollman, seconded by Representative Schoenbeck. This will have no discussion, but I will add the prime sponsors aware of this. This will be a roll call vote. All in favor of tabling House Bill 1246, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Beal.
Aye.
Harrison.
Aye.
Holly. Kirschman.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Stalser.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
We have 12 ayes, one excused.
Have an affirmative vote of the committee. House Bill 1246 will be tabled.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Paige just came in and said that she had a message from Representative Jensen. So if you could give that to the chair.
Thank you.
Next month.
Next month he can get back with us. Okay, let's move on. House Bill 1242 is an act to authorize parents to request a security freeze for their child's credit report until the age of 18. At this time, the chair will ask for proponent testimony in House Bill 1242. Good morning, Representative Gibson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and esteemed members of the House Commerce Committee. Representative Peggy Gibson, District 22, Beadle and Kingsbury Counties. And I have an amendment to this bill.
I'm going to allow proponents and any opponents, if there are any, to discuss both the amendment and the bill for the purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We could move it if we wanted. We haven't got it all yet. So go ahead and proceed with.
Okay. All right. House Bill 1242 allows for a parent to request a security freeze on the credit report of any of his or her children to be removed, or of any of her children. The amendment takes out the provision to be removed when the child is 18 years of age.
Mr. Chairman.
And I'll explain that in a moment.
Mr. Chairman, since the amendment's been circulated, can I move the amendment at this time?
Let's move the amendment for the purposes of discussion. Representative Schoenbeck moves amendment
1242 YA.
That motion made by Representative Schoenbeck, seconded by Representative Volman. At this time, we will hold all action on this and allow people to discuss it. Representative Gibson, proceed.
Thank you. Identity theft is generally defined as the use of a person's personally identifying information, a name, social security number, credit card number, or other financial information without permission to commit fraud, theft, or other crimes. A security freeze is a notice placed on a consumer's credit report that prohibits a consumer credit reporting agency from releasing the consumer's credit report without explicit permission from the consumer. The freeze helps prevent against identity theft and fraud. Identity theft of a child is a particularly challenging crime because the victim may not realize the fraud has occurred until years later. Many victims do not even realize their identity has been stolen until they are in their 20s when they try to apply for a credit card or rent an apartment or enroll in college for a student loan, enroll in college or apply for a student loan. By then, it can take years to undo the damage. Furthermore, the theft can be perpetuated by a family member, which in many cases, unfortunately, it is, which leaves the victim in an uncomfortable situation of seeking prosecution of a loved one. With a security freeze, most relatives will not have the ability to perpetrate against a child. Identity theft is a serious crime with serious consequences for the victims. It can take years to rebuild credit and remove the damage caused by the fraud. This bill allows for the protection of the most vulnerable population, for provisions that allow for the security freeze to end. It did provide it to end when the minor turns 18. However, the next testifier will explain to you why we took this out of the bill at this time. We do want to eventually put it back in the bill. However, at this time, we removed it. So this basically prevents the non-custodial parent, like an uncle, a sibling, so on and so forth, from stealing a child's credit card number. What thieves steal from children? Mostly social security number, about 56%, date of birth, about 33%, a birth certificate, about 14%, physical address, and school records. In 2012, I worked with the Attorney General and on his consumer protection big package, Senate Bill 23, to protect consumers in the state of South Dakota. However, this particular issue was not addressed at that time, so this bill is an attempt to address it now. Our next proponent will be Jody Gillespie. She's from the Attorney General's office, but she's not representing the Attorney General's office because she doesn't have a bill or doesn't have a badge, but she will speak on her own behalf. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Further, Representative Schoenbeck?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, when this witness gets up to for those of us that are highly ignorant on this topic, I hope somebody must be assuming that we, at least I don't know what a security freeze is.
And how that, I can go
and how that prevents fraud. So
okay.
Simple.
Mr. Chairman, Jody Gillespie, like Representative Gibson said, I am the Director for Consumer Protection. My role in Consumer Protection is to go out and speak to consumers about issues that we're seeing across the state. One of the first and foremost things that I talk to about consumers or to consumers about is identity theft. We do have a privacy right book that goes out to any consumer. It's on our website, and it talks about identity theft, security freezes, fraud alerts, what you can do to protect yourself. Approximately 8 years ago, 8-9 years ago, Congress enacted the annual credit report as a way for consumers to check their credit reports to ensure that somebody hadn't taken out lines of credit underneath their social security number. You as a consumer are entitled to one free credit report per year per credit bureau. And that's a way for you to look and see if somebody has opened up lines of credit underneath that social security number. With that, I go on to talk about encouraging consumers to, instead of getting them from all three of the credit bureaus at once, to stagger that out and do it on a four-month rotation basis. The reason being is, unfortunately, if you are a victim of identity theft, the burden of proof is on you, the consumer, to show that you didn't open up those lines of credit. I can tell you from perspectives of consumer protection, it's not as easy as just picking up the phone and calling the credit bureau and saying, I was sitting here in room 464 giving a hearing. I'm going to have to get minutes that attest that I was actually here. It's not picking up a phone and saying, nope, I was here in South Dakota. So it's not an easy process. The reason for doing that on a four-month rotation basis is I'm going to remember 4 months into it what I was doing versus a year. Again, the burden of proof is on you, the consumer. For those minors that don't even realize actually what a social security number is for and how it can benefit them, but how others can use that to benefit themselves. This is a way for that person to put a security freeze on there. When you put a security freeze on your social security number, you're going to have to go out there and do it with all three credit bureaus. Equifax, TransUnion, Experian are your credit bureaus. When you do that, it's going to cost you $10 per credit bureau to do that. What that does is it locks your credit down, meaning that the bank, if you're going to go and apply for a car loan, the bank cannot even get your information. Okay, you're going to get a PIN ID from that credit bureau to unlock that freeze, temporarily unlock it. So there are pros and cons to putting a security freeze out there. If you are going to make that purchase, you're going to have to know in advance, approximately 10 days. Some of the credit bureaus still require, TransUnion is one of them, that still requires you, I'm sorry, Equifax, I think, is the one that still requires you to write in if you want to temporarily lift that freeze. So you're going to have some foresight and advancement to know that you're going to make a large purchase in which the bank is going to go out and check your credit. If you're going to apply for a credit card, the same principle holds true. When you're talking about minors, as Representative Gibson stated, they don't necessarily know that they're information has been stolen until they go to apply for that FAFSA school loan or they apply for that credit card. And that's when they learn that their identity has been stolen. The other one going across the state, the other one that I feel is also a vulnerable area are elderly. I can tell you from personal experience, I dealt with all of my grandparents' financial information and I placed security freezes on all of their stuff because they weren't in a position that they were ever going to go and purchase a home or purchase a car or any of that. And their information didn't need to be out there. I don't know who was going into the nursing homes. I don't know what type of mail they were receiving, those types of things. So I placed that security freeze as a precautionary step for my grandparents. Regardless that they weren't going to make any more purchases, and it wasn't going to affect them or their social security,
it's not right for somebody to come in and steal their and use their social security number for their own benefit. So that was the reasons why I did that. The book here is out online. I should have brought books for everybody. I apologize. But it is online. I do go out through across the state talking about identity theft, security freezes, security alerts, those types of things. Does anybody have any questions?
We'll answer questions when we're done with all the testimony, but thank you. Any other proponents on House Bill 1242? Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, an opponent testimony on House Bill 1242.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Dennis Duncan. I'm a registered lobbyist for the Consumer Data Industry Association. As many of you know, I practice law in Parker, South Dakota, and in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Prior to my testimony here today, I had an occasion to have a very brief helpful conversation with Representative Gibson, in which I apologized for being very late to the party on this particular issue. My son and I, who are the lobbyists for this particular group, were not retained by this group until late last week, and so I did not have an opportunity until this morning to tell Representative Gibson about our position on this particular bill, nor to offer her the assistance in possibly amending this bill that would, as my testimony will hopefully show, would make this bill, put this bill in a position that we could be supportive of this. And the reason I say that is, out of respect to Representative Gibson, I don't do things by ambush. I have never had that as thinking that's a good policy, both either in my law practice or legislatively, to do things by ambush. But conceptually, this is a bill that, or a concept that we could support, the consumer data industry could support. However, there are some problems with this particular form of the bill that create issues for my association, which put us in a position that without substantial amendment of this bill, we could not support. Now, they realize time is important here, and we don't have a lot of time to make comprehensive amendments to bills at this particular time. But there is, as I tell my friends, there's two sides to the legislature, so we would have some opportunity to continue to work on this bill if that were the pleasure of this legislature. I think position for the legislature to take, however, would be that considering the comprehensive nature of the amendments that would be necessary to put this bill in a format that the industry could be supportive of, it might be good to hold this over until next year and work on this over the summer and try to come back with a bill that everyone could stand up and perhaps be supportive of, and I wouldn't be up here in a situation where I'm taking a poke at Representative Gibson's bill, which otherwise is a bill that conceptually the industry supports. Now, I think the legitimate questions obviously are, why would the industry be opposed to this particular bill? And essentially, the reason is fairly simple. When you're creating a new class, an additional protected class of persons, which you're doing here by allowing a security freeze to be placed on a minor's credit report, you're creating a new protected class because everyone else that is entitled to by the statutes found in SDCL 54, 15, 1, and those that follow require that any person who is a victim of identity theft and who has submitted a valid police report can then place a security freeze on that person's report. But in this particular situation, what you're being asked to do is that a custodial parent may request a security freeze on a report of an unemancipated minor child, and the child does not need to be a victim of identity theft, and a police report is not necessary. So you're drawing a distinction between what the statutes that were passed in 2006 were trying to get at and this particular new protected class that we're trying to carve out by this particular legislation. Again, conceptually, is it a bad idea? No, it is not a bad idea. Technically, there needs to be some additional safeguards and procedural requirements that be put into place to enable this particular protected class of people to be able to gain this security freeze. One of the things that the statutes in 21 states that have adopted the more comprehensive ideas of security freezes on the accounts of minors is one of the things they require is that this custodial parent be required to provide information that would provide some discernible proof to the credit reporting agency that in fact they have the authority to be dealing with this particular person's credit account and to place this security freeze on this. In the current legislation that you're being offered, there's no requirement that the custodial parent have any obligation to show that they are even they are in a position that they could make this request. And by use of the term custodial parent, it's important because if parties are for example divorced, the non-custodial parent could make that request to put a security freeze on the child, and there's no requirement by this statute that the person prove that they are the non or the custodial parent entitled to make that type of decision for this minor child. You know, this is to somewhat further complicate this in domestic relations matters where there's where the parties are divorced. Typically you have a custodial parent and you have a non-custodial parent. Obviously, by definition, the custodial parent is the parent that has the custody of the minor children. But there are also many situations becoming much more prevalent in the state of South Dakota now for those people that do domestic relations work. I personally do not do very much, but where there is a joint custody relationship. And under those joint custody relationships, there's a requirement at least that they have, they confer and participate in these types of decisions. And with this particular statute where it gives just one custodial parent the ability to ask for this report, the other, if it was a joint custody situation, the other parent wouldn't necessarily have to participate in that, confer and agree to the actions taken by the other custodial parent. As I've indicated, at least 21 other states have adopted statutory schemes which allow for the credit freeze by custodial parents for minor children. Most of them, in fact, I think it's like 21 of the states, cut this off at 16 rather than 18, like South Dakota, or like we're trying to do here with this particular statute. But more importantly, as was done in Utah just very recently, when the state of Utah set up this separate protected class, they kept that class to to people under 16 years of age, and they talked about the ability to also do this for people that were in an were under some type of protected status, like a guardianship or conservatorship also. So we feel that under the circumstances, this bill, even with the proposed amendment that's pending before the committee here, is conceptually, as I've said, one that we could support, but as it currently sits before this committee is one where we feel that the procedural safeguards and the procedural steps that this bill lacks are important to providing this particular new protected class the type of protection they should be entitled to. I'd be happy to stand by to answer any questions. Representative Schoenbeck, you asked about a security freeze. I've got the statute here if you want to see it. Okay. Okay. So I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Duncan. Representative Gibson, do you want a couple of minutes for rebuttal on this? I'm assuming there's no other opponents. Nobody else is listed.
Okay.
So,
proceed. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, members of the committee. If you'll notice on page 1, lines 10 through 12, the custodial parent may request a security freeze on the report of any parent's unemancipated minor children. The child does not need to be a victim of identity theft, and a police report is not necessary. That's all we're adding to the already form statute 54.15.3. And we did take out the automatic withdrawal at age 18 because Ms. Gillespie could not get permission or she didn't have time to contact, even though we've had this bill in the making for quite a few months here, but she couldn't get a hold of all of the credit agencies and get their confirmation that they would automatically shut this off at age 18. So we've taken that out of the bill. So that's all your voting on here today. And 23 other states do allow parents, legal guardians, or other representatives of minors to place a security freeze on the minor's credit report at this time. And I think that is a necessary part of our South Dakota statute. So I'd appreciate if you would go ahead and approve this bill or proposed bill, and then if we need to add some information to it at a later date, that would be fine. But as it stands, it should not be offensive to anyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gibson. This time I'm going to open it up to committee questions. Questions of the committee. Representative Howley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I got a quick question there for Mr. Duncan. So, and correct me if I'm wrong. It appears to me that right now, if I had a 5-year-old and there was somebody stole a Social Security number, that I could put a freeze on because it just says any individual. So who can put that freeze on for the 5-year-old now if there has been an event?
If there's been Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Representative Holly, if there's been a person who has been a victim of a identity theft, as you correctly pointed out, currently their parents could do that for a child. But what this is doing, again, is that there needs not be any identity theft have taken place, nor any types of police report provided. But they're providing a new protected class of people a custodial parent can ask for a credit freeze, even with the lack of an identity theft or a police report.
Representative Holly.
So, but your argument is that, well, we need to have the correct person putting the freeze on. currently under law, how do you know it's the correct person that's putting the freeze on if any parent can do it? If it's, let's say it's not even a custodial parent now. So I'm trying to, you're using that as your argument for this, okay. But what are you doing now?
Well, currently the statute requires that if you're going to have a credit report frozen, you have to provide information to the credit bureau or the Equifax, for example, that shows them in a discernible manner that you are someone that's qualified to ask for that particular information. Whereas in this, all they have to, what the statute said, the amendment says that all you'd have to do is assert that you're a custodial parent and you request for the
one quick follow-up. So under that basis, then the three companies are not going to follow any further. If I call in and said I'm the custodial parent, they would accept my word and go ahead and put the freeze on. That's how they do that business?
No, it's not quite that easy.
I didn't think so.
Well, I don't think it is quite that easy because their request, you may elect to the statute says you may make a request in writing by certified mail, and the section does not prevent a consumer reporting agency from advising that a security freeze is in effect with respect to that credit report. But by implication, they have the ability to question whether you've got the authority to do that too. So I think actually when you take a look at our statutory scheme, and one of the things I didn't want to start talking outside the scope of this particular amendment, but I think if we want to take a good look at statutes like in Iowa, Nebraska, and Utah, for example, where they've recently implemented some consumer reporting freeze statutes similar to this, they require that you actually provide some documentation that you are an accredited or authorized person to be making that request on the part of a minor child or someone that's in a incapacitated state, such as someone under a guardianship or conservatorship. So, you know, I think we have not come forward with that legislation, but if you're going to take a look at adopting legislation that you think improves the statute, let's take a look at it and improve the statute comprehensively, which is a matter that our industry is on record standing behind and being willing to do if we do it in a comprehensive manner and do it right.
Representative Howley, further questions of the committee? Representative Steinhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is also a question for Mr. Duncan. I note in this section 5415-3, both as it is and in the proposed change, very interesting use of the word request. So those victims of the theft, of identity theft, can request this freeze, as in a proposal, it's also a request. So can you deny that request?
By implication, certainly, if you can't, if the request is made and there's some reason that you would question the request, in my opinion, yes, that request could be denied. Now, each of the companies that's a member of our particular trade association has different mechanisms by which they review those requests, but when you talk about a request, it's just simply that. It's a request, just like I'm here today requesting that you not pass this bill.
Follow-up?
Brother Steinhauer, follow-up.
So what do you do with requests? Are the majority of those placed, the freezes?
Representative Steinhauer, Mr. Chairman, I can't answer, give you any quantitative how many requests have been submitted and how many have been approved and not approved. I'm sorry, I don't have that information.
President Steinhauer, do you have a...
Not a question. I've got lots of comments, but we'll save those.
Further questions of the committee? Further questions? Representative Harrison, do you have a question?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is for the sponsor, please. Thank you, Representative. I guess my question is, if the reason for doing this is there, a parent would probably know that there's going to be a problem. And so why would you not have a police report or go through the steps to get the freeze done?
Mr. Chair.
Representative.
Actually, I'm not necessarily anticipating a problem. However, this is just saying that they can go ahead and request the freeze so that there won't be a problem.
Representative Harrison, does that answer? Do you want to follow up?
Yeah, I guess I'm just a little bit confused. I don't see where somebody would use a child any different, a child's credit report any different than any other person, except in a custody case if it's a parent, I guess. And I guess I don't see the distinction.
Is that a question, and can you answer that?
Yeah, if you could help me out there.
Mr. Chair, actually, the most egregious thefts of identity have been with like an uncle or an aunt or a brother or even the child's parent, to use their social security number. And it could be, you know, in a divorce situation where the mother has bad credit because of the divorce and then uses the child's social security number for her own credit purposes. And maybe Ms. Gillespie would be better at answering this since she deals with it.
Representative Harrison, do you want to ask that same question of Ms. Gillespie?
Yeah, I guess I would. Just if there are that many more cases with pertaining to children.
Mr. Chairman? Whoops, wrong way. Sorry. From my perspective, from the consumer perspective division, we do deal with divorces and where the parent or a family member or a family friend, if that information is out there laying, South Dakota is notorious for, we like to put birth announcements out there. We like to put, I shouldn't say we like to, we do put obituary notices out there. That information is queried by these scam artists. That information is easily accessible to them for the public records. And so if they're savvy enough, they can get that information. It may be family members or it may be sold on the black market type of a thing. What you're looking at here is where you're putting that information and you're freezing it until that person has the knowledge to understand what that social security number can do for them and its importance. You're freezing it so that they can use it in the appropriate manner. And when they go to apply for that FAFSA loan or any type of loan, it's not damaged.
Representative Harrison, did that,
is that
help? Further questions? Let me see if anybody else has a question first. Any questions from the left side of the table? Representative Steinhauer, do you have another question?
Yes, a question from Ms. Gillespie.
Yes.
Ms. Gillespie, I'm just trying to figure out how this helps. Frankly, I don't like this whole section of law, and so maybe you can help me understand. If we, it was testified that a person can make a request right now, and the agencies can decide yes or no. Whether it doesn't say shall place the freeze. So in this case, I would think that they'd accept a request from a custodial parent. And since your amendment doesn't require them to do it, they'll take requests now. Well, why are we messing around with this, I guess, is my question.
Can you answer that question?
Mr. Chairman, I can only speak to you in terms of consumer protection and my going out and talking, because I'm not a lobbyist supporting the bill. I'm just giving you information from the consumer aspect. So I don't know that I can fully state that. I guess in talking across the state, we talk about instances, and every time that I go and I talk with consumers, there's always at least one person that raises their hand and says, yes, they know of an instance in which somebody's identity has been stolen. Whether they've done the police report, put the security freeze, they don't understand the process that needs to be done. And so I don't know. It's a starting place.
Representative Steinhauer, did that answer your question? Further questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony and open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1242, Representative Schoenbeck.
Move due pass. Excuse me. We have the amendment first. Can I speak to the amendment and the bill?
Well, yes. Do you want to make a...
There is a motion pending.
We got a motion pending. Do you want to speak on the motion? And you want permission on the bill, too?
Yes, all right. Excuse me. This is... I'd sort of call it a no harm, no fall opportunity here. This bill is, if it passes, it's going to go over to the Senate, and there's going to be more of an opportunity. It's interesting. This bill really doesn't have opposition. It has concern. We don't have a gray category that you can register under. And so it's, I understand the legitimate, because opposition about words matter. So, and there are, I mean, as Representative Steinhauer noted, and maybe go back, I mean, the current statute, you may elect, and this one is says request, as opposed to the more affirmative authority given by the current statute. So there could be several issues. I suspect the custodial versus non-custodial is maybe a small mechanical issue. It's less of a, in reality, why would one parent oppose another parent who wanted to protect it? I mean, in the real world, if they opposed it, then you would want to get it done because it's probably a sign of a problem. So I understand that. I think there are things to be done yet, but we're going to be here. This isn't like somebody brought us a goofy idea that doesn't have any legs to it. I would suggest that we should put the amendment on the bill, give the bill an opportunity. I believe that these institutions have hired very able counsel who will kill it deader than a doornail if it's not all fixed up to make it practically work. And because I am too old, I just got to tell you one really quick story. B.J. Nesselhoff, former senator, was a young guy in the early days of computers in the legislature. Mac McCrack in Rapid City, a senator, not so young. Mac opposing legislation like this on the floor of the Senate. Nesselhoff says, Senator, are the first four numbers or last four numbers of your Social Security number, bing, bing, bing? And he got it by just sitting there during the debate and what you can do with a computer. So it scared the bejeebers out of me. I mean, the whole issue is a problem. That doesn't mean this is necessarily a fix to a problem. I don't know that. But I think it warrants giving it a chance to go another day.
Okay, we do have a pending motion. Are there any comments concerning the motion to amend? Representative Howley.
Thank you. Right now, when a child's born, they get a Social Security number. If you want to put them on your health insurance, you got to have date of birth, name, and Social Security number to put them on your health insurance. So everybody's getting a Social Security number out there. We saw what happened in Anaheim down in North Carolina, the Blue Cross Blue Shield, where their system got cracked and all their access was available. You see the reports every day how much a Social Security number is worth on the black market. You imagine if you can get a Social Security number from a child who, oh, by the way, isn't going to see his monthly checking account report and his credit card report, and you can go out and use that Social Security number for a year or two before he's even realized that we got a problem on it, there's an issue out there. So I think that this is correct. I don't think we need to wait. Right now, if there is an issue, then on child, evidently, you can do a report. But what about if you can't? And it takes 2 years down the road. I had an insured come in. Their daughter went off to college, Chicago, 18-year-old. Somebody got her credit card. Her credit was destroyed for 2 years. She couldn't even buy a car. And they were spending $1,000 in legal fees to get this done. Imagine if you found out when your child goes to get a credit card at age 17, 18, that his credit's been hijacked for 10 years. And imagine how long it'd take to unwind that. I think this is good legislation. It may have some problems. I'm hoping you can work it out. But I do think we need to send this forward and let it get vetted a little bit better.
Thank you. Any further comments on the pending motion, 1242YA? Any further comments on 1242YA? Hearing none, all in favor of the amendment 1242YA, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1242 is so amended. Okay, now we're to discussion and or action on 1242 as amended. Representative Stalzer?
Yeah, I'll be brief, and I'm going to echo good Representative Holly's comments. I worked in internet security in the banking industry before I retired, and I do believe that this is a problem that needs to be headed off now before it becomes much worse. And if there are some minor tweaks that need to be done, I think we've got time to do that. And I would request your support. Thank you.
Further discussion and or action on House Bill 1242 as amended? Representative Steinhauer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just need to explain some of my angst that people might have picked up on. And it's not with the issue or the good effort being put forward to try and protect our young people. So I'm all about that. I just think we've got too darn many laws, and we end up with unintended consequences when we put things in place when the law has no real teeth in it anyhow, because it's a request of something that you can request today, and even after the law's passed, they can deny it or not. And for the industry's concern about how they're going to administer, whether the person is a custodial parent, they're doing it now. And so what they'd be asking us is to add even more law as to how we define that. They've got administrative rules they can deal with. I don't think it belongs in here. Representative Schoenbeck's probably right. It's no harm, no foul, so I support it. But it has no teeth, and it can be done as a matter of practice today.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Schoenbeck.
Move do pass as amended.
We have a motion by Representative Schoenbeck, do pass on House Bill 1242 as amended, seconded by Representative Howley. Discussion on that motion? Seeing none, the question is House Bill 1242, do pass as amended. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Harrison.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Stalzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willardson.
No.
Woman.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
We have 12 ayes, 1 nay.
Having an affirmative vote of 12 ayes, 1 against, House Bill 1242 is amended to be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Bowman.
Happy birthday, Representative Gibson.
Thank you. Thank you, you guys. Nice birthday present. I'll work on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
Thank you. You were supposed to say that before you began testimony today.
That it was my birthday?
Yes.
Please pass my bill. Thank you.
Okay, let's get to a Senate bill today. Hey, that last bill was our last House bill this session, folks. I'd like to thank the committee for getting everything out before crossover. It's too bad we can't bring another bill back off the table. Nothing about 1067 I want to talk about, but it's burn, burn, burn in a burning ring of fire. Let's take on Senate Bill 38. This is brought to us by the Committee on Commerce, or the Department of Labor and Regulation. Is an act to revise certain provisions concerning bail bonds persons. At this time, I'll ask for proponent testimony on Senate Bill 38.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Schoenbeck.
Representative Beal and I were going to move to take your bill off the table, but it wouldn't have enough time to be noticed.
You're out of order. You're out of order. Let's move on with proponent testimony on Senate Bill 38.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Larry Dieter. I'm the director of the Division of Insurance, part of the Department of Labor and Regulation. South Dakota Division of Insurance is the licensing and regulatory agency for bail bonds persons operating in the state of South Dakota. Senate Bill 38 updates and modernizes the chapter concerning bail bonds licensure to better match the requirements of other insurance licensees. This chapter had some definition updates in 2013. Other than that, the last time it was really we were really in this chapter was the 70s with a few tweaks in the late 90s. The updates proposed in this bill include preventing bail bonds persons from using their own license to bail themselves out of jail, There's not a problem with that currently, so we'll fix that issue. Updating licensing procedures, such as requiring bail bonds persons to report felony prosecutions to the division. This is required with other licensees today. Requiring a federal criminal background check on bail bonds persons. Currently, applicants are subject to a state background check only. The current check could allow us to miss something if a person were to move here from a state, we'll say Nevada as an example, to throw open up a bail bond shop in South Dakota. A prior conviction may not show up on our state background check. We're trying to protect the public and the industry with this bill and keep the potential for bad actors out of our state. In conclusion, I'd ask for your support of Senate Bill 38. Thank you for your time, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Dieter. Are there any other proponents on Senate Bill number 38? Any other proponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to any opponents. None are registered, so I assumed. Any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open up committee questions. I do have a question, Mr. Dieter.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I did not have a chance to look up the definition of a runner.
We don't have any licensed runners in South Dakota, but it's an assister. It's someone that would assist a bail bonds person under the statute.
Is it, if I may follow up, is it like those people on TV that assist the actual bail bonds guy?
Perhaps. Perhaps.
Thank you. Further questions of the committee? Representative Kirschman.
Mr. Chairman, what did we – I remember something about bail bonds, but in 2013, what did we fix back then?
Mr. Chair, I am not aware of what was updated in 2013. My records show that there were some definition updates, but Representative Kirschman, I'm not sure what was updated then.
Okay. I think that was the bail bondsman that used to be in the Senate. I think it was – I can't be polite. I'm not going to mention names, but I think that was his bill to do definitions. Any other questions? Ask him if you got now, because nobody knows who I'm going to assign this bill to yet but me. So I'm assuming again. Okay, thank you. I will now close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on Senate Bill 38. Representative Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
We have a motion do pass by Representative Harrison, seconded by Representative Bowman. Discussion on that motion. Representative Harrison.
Good bill.
Good speech. Further discussion on the motion, do pass. Seeing none, question is do pass on Senate Bill 38. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Spiel.
Aye.
Harrison.
Aye.
Holly.
Aye.
Kirschman.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Stolzer.
Aye.
Steinhauer.
Aye.
Wick.
Aye.
Willitson.
Aye.
Woman.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Schoenbeck.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
13 ayes.
Have an affirmative vote of 13 ayes. Senate Bill 38 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Willitson.
Willitson moves consent.
We have a motion by Representative Willitson to put Senate Bill 38 on the consent calendar, seconded by Representative Zickman. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate Bill 38 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and be placed on a consent calendar. And Representative the Big Guy from Minnehaha, Lincoln County, this is your bill. You look like a bail bondsman. Representative Kirschman, do you have a motion? We have a motion by Representative Kirschman to adjourn, seconded by Representative Wick. All in favor of adjournment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned, and thank you.